Hey guys, it's Lebo here to tell you about your new favorite go-to underwear, undershirt, and sock brand, Mr. Davis. It's a local KC company with the most comfortable undergarments you'll ever wear. I'll never wear another brand again. Go to MrDavis.com/810 for your new favorite undergarments.
He's just what you'd expect for a man who covers sports. 6'4", 250 pounds, wiry, but he does know Kansas City sports as well as anyone. He's Kansas City Star columnist Sam McDowell on the program.
McDowell joins us here in the program live in Blue Springs. We're not far. Just up, what, 291 away from where you...
Yeah, it's pretty close. You know, I've been coming to you guys for long enough. It's about time you guys came out to me. Yeah.
We thought we'd come out here. It only took one of the great Mexican restaurants in Kansas City history to get us out of here, Rancho Grande, northeast corner of I-70 and 70. The street address, if you want to GPS it, 501 Northwest Jefferson Street.
Had a party here for my four-year-old about half a mile away here.
Really?
I did.
Okay. Good to know.
At the bar.
As you should.
Got to learn sometime.
Take advantage of a dollar off on all the Corona bottles, Parkville, Liberty, Blue Springs, all three locations honoring that. And, of course, all three locations will have live music for Cinco de Mayo. That's coming up this Sunday. You can celebrate starting right now. Live music at all three locations, plus giveaways all day, specials on all the import bottles. Don't forget they cater as well. Fantastic weddings, graduations, anything that needs catering, they got you covered. Go to RanchoGrandeCantina.com. You can also check them out on Instagram, Facebook. Check out all their daily specials. And don't forget, Mother's Day is right around the corner on May 12th. They'll feature $5.50 strawberry margaritas. Do you like the margaritas? Are you a margarita guy?
More the Corona. You got a Corona deal going.
Okay. I was going to say frozen or on the rocks on the margaritas.
I get it frozen.
Always frozen.
Yeah.
Always frozen. It's like an icy. Remember when you were a kid?
Especially today. It's like
the icies.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Especially today. It's like 85 out today.
Is it really that warm?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't notice. I didn't think it was that bad.
How'd you get in here?
I came out.
It was warmer.
I didn't get out of the car.
It wasn't as warm.
Oh, my God, it's hot. I just got out of the car and walked in.
It's gone up from 1:30 to 4.
What time is it? Or what temperature is it?
It is currently 83. Well, that's in Overland Park. Maybe warmer.
Two
out
off.
Here. Cooler by the lake.
Didn't feel that warm to me.
It says 82 in Blue Springs, though. So
you can get $2 off fajitas for mom as well on Mother's Day, May 12th. Take advantage of it. You can also compete in their wiffle ball tournament. Can you wiffle?
Oh, yeah.
Pitch, hit, what do you do? Where do you play?
Anything.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Break one off with the wiffle ball? Big curve?
Hand-eye coordination was my only attributes as an athlete. So, yeah.
Really?
That game's up my alley.
So you became a writer.
That's
your,
right.
Your ability to type.
Type.
Came
typist.
In handy.
Typist, yeah.
He can look at a keyboard and type the correct letter. It's unbelievable.
Without
hand-eye coordination. Yes.
Actually, without looking.
Oh,
yes.
That's amazing.
Their wiffle ball tournament's coming up September 21st. It benefits Alzheimer's Association here in Kansas City. So go to RanchoGrandeCantina.com. You can find more info and get signed up right there. And I don't know, maybe take Sam McDowell deep. We'll see. We'll see if you get a team together.
How many words a minute, Sam?
Yeah, what are you looking at?
Spoken or written?
Written. Typing. How many times?
You don't say 200 words a day unless we drag you on the radio,
see.
For God's sake.
Your peak. I don't know. I haven't done a test in a while.
Best score ever.
I don't think I've ever done a test.
Really? I bet I can beat you.
I was terrible. You can beat anybody, almost anybody I know, though.
I bet I'm faster.
All right.
Just so you know. Okay. Stubby fingers.
That helps?
I've only known one person who can type faster than him.
Who? Who could type faster than me?
I think my friend Gary. He's the only guy I know who can type faster than you.
Okay. That's it. There's Gary.
He's offended by
me. And then me.
Who? Who? I'll kick his ass.
I will type him into oblivion. What do you think about this Kansas getting involved in these stadiums, huh? You've been covering the story a little here and there.
Yeah.
You've spent a couple hours on it.
Yeah, a couple.
Couple hours couple. Here and there.
Yeah, it's like a couple
Maybe
hours.
Maybe went to a meeting or two, you know. Talked to a few folks. What do you think? Sean Tarwater talking about Starbonds. Done deal, huh? Both of them to Kansas? What do you think?
No, I mean, I know you're being facetious, but, like, there is some thought out there that I've seen on Twitter that, like, hey, these teams have, like, Jackson County has lost these teams. Like, we are several steps away from that. This is the avenue that allows Kansas to present to have its best presentation. And first of all, they have to pass it tonight. I think they will. The legislative session closes tonight, so I think you're going to see them up very late. I think it's not going to be during the hours of this show, for example. I think it could be deep into the night. The development today that, you know, we've got our lead political reporter, Jonathan Shorman's in Topeka covering all this over the last couple of days. And as he wrote today, that
our lead political reporter shoveling fajitas in his face right across the table from me. So it looks like you guys are on it a little better than we are.
If I'm your lead political reporter, you've got some bad political coverage.
You're in the lead about political posts.
Yes, that's true. No lies detected.
But right now they're trying to push across perhaps some tax cuts because they think that would allow more lawmakers to...
Who is they? Kansas?
Kansas law, yeah.
Okay.
Because that would allow more lawmakers to probably get on board with the presentation that you're talking about, the proposal that you're talking about, which would be sort of... You know, I joked with Jonathan last night, they should call it superstar bonds because they're like these star bonds on steroids that they're trying to get. But they claim, and I'm interested in hearing like some expert math on this, but could fully finance these stadiums. And the way star bonds work is, you know, the sales tax revenue from the projects, that's how
whatever they pay basically for it. It's they eat what they kill, right? Like they have to generate the revenue, and that revenue pays off.
The sales tax revenue goes back into the project itself. And so the idea behind it was for big projects.
It's been used before. That's how that...
Children's Mercy Park with Sporting Kansas City is...
And that whole area and, really
yeah,
was...
Yeah, the Speedway as well. You're right. I want to be clear about this. Like, I've talked to some sourcing within the team that said the Chiefs have not had conversations with
they're adamant about that. Both teams are.
And I asked Clark Hunt about that on the record on Saturday at the draft, and he said that they had not had conversations with Kansas. So this is one side of the equation gearing up to have its best potential offer to these teams. And what I think is really interesting about this entire situation, and I actually told people this the week after this vote failed, usually when you fail at something, you're in a worse position. You're the one that has to move when you get back to the negotiating table and say, okay, that didn't work. Now what do you have? I think part of the message that these teams tried to get across during the vote was, this is your chance to keep us in Jackson County. I don't know how believable it was to a lot of the voters. I don't think they thought when they were going to vote, this was their only chance to keep the teams in Jackson County. Now if you suddenly would fail twice, for example, I do think that fear would be more there among voters, and therefore I think you're starting to see the initial early stages or initial steps of potentially these teams might not be in worse negotiating position than they were before their own vote failed.
I agree with you, because now competition can be had.
Yes.
Right?
And it could have been before, but they went with their plan A. Initially.
Well, I want to double back, and I've spent a lot of time talking about it here when we've mentioned it, not as much time as you spent working on it, but I wanted people to understand, Kansas hasn't talked to the Chiefs or Royals. They haven't talked to Kansas. That's because of the lesson everybody learned from the Rams, right? Like, if you want to get them to Kansas, don't get them sued.
Yeah.
Right? And so every politician I talk to, they have been adamant that they are not talking. Wow. Could a developer, could somebody say, hey, I got some plans, can I throw them by you? Do they have some renditions of what a stadium could look like someplace else that they had the Royals or Chiefs paid the sports architecture firms to build? I don't know. Maybe. I haven't seen any of them.
I do. I have seen
some. I have heard they're out there. And yes. Come on, we're not dunces. Yes, I'm sure they are. But let me ask you this. What makes it okay to talk to Kansas now?
You mean as opposed to
why they couldn't talk before, but why they would be able to talk now? Why are they susceptible to a lawsuit before, but now it's okay?
I, to be honest, I'm not an expert in that area.
I don't know either.
So, but I do. You are right about, you know, the reason that St. Louis have got hundreds of millions, like
780 million.
Yeah, I mean, was because of the way that their move happened across to a different state or a different location altogether. But
I'm assuming when Kansas starts talking to the Chiefs, whatever mechanism needs to take place to avoid a lawsuit, or the Royals or Chiefs, will have been done, right? Can we?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't just like, well, they get one shot,
right?
And if they don't extend it, now that's off. That doesn't apply anymore. They have to have, whatever it is, I think will have to be out of the way so that Kansas can openly negotiate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying, and I agree, we don't see either of these teams just skipping over that step after what happened.
Or is it a case of the state of Kansas continues to not talk to the Royals and Chiefs? They pass this. It's not going to go to a popular vote, right? This is just their government's going to pass it, and people aren't going to have a say on it?
This, you know, what I jokingly called superstar bond.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So, like, no taxpayer will vote yes or no.
On a star bonds, I mean, that's yeah, yeah.
I just want to be clear about it. So this is different.
You still have to get a project passed.
Right, but they would have the green light to issue these funds. They don't need the taxpayers to say yes. And so they would basically then just be sitting there, the Chiefs and Royals, knowing, because they can read the paper, that, okay, that money's there. Do we want to go over there? Do we want to talk about that, right? And then, at that point, the next step is, can we come up with a project that they want to give us the money for and that we want to make our new home?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I see it unfolding as far as I – but to be honest, like, even before the vote in Jackson County on April 2nd, I don't think these teams were in the dark about the fact that Kansas would have some pretty lucrative offers for them because of their state finances. What's interesting is, you know, what we were in the dark about – throughout this initial vote was what was the state commitment going to be to both of these teams. And to be honest, I think that was at least like a percentage of the no vote was not knowing that information. What percentage, I don't know. But I do think it was at least a portion of that no vote. And I think that now you are going to see a more aggressive Missouri side, too.
Well, I think they have to be.
And it's going to have to be more publicly aggressive as well.
And you've said all along you thought the Royals, or do you think both teams, will be much more, it'll be Kansas City, Missouri, city-driven, as opposed to county.
Yeah, yeah.
Does the county come out of it?
They haven't been involved in the 3 weeks since.
Okay.
Like, the Chiefs and the county have not spoken. I don't know. Like,
is there a negative? Is there a negative to Jackson County having nothing to do with this? If you're a Jackson County resident, if they still build them both in Jackson County, and you don't, and that 3.8 cent sales tax ends, and you still have your teams, because Kansas City, Missouri is going to pay for it, and the state of Missouri is going to pay for it. Huh?
I think the negative would be that it just got voted down. So I think as a Jackson County, and you would say, I just voted on this. And now this, what did my vote mean in that situation? So I think in that case, the city would have to.
3.8 cent sales tax will expire.
Yeah, but I think the city would have to differentiate articulate what the difference is in the project that was just voted down, which I do think that would be the case, by the way. Like, I don't think we'd see, even if, you know, last week I told you I think that it very much would be in play for the Royals to be in the same location that just got voted down. But, you know, perhaps it's a much clearer project at that point by the time. What, you know, Clark Hunt said, and I've been told by other people this, but I hadn't heard someone for the team say it, that we are not talking weeks. We are talking months or even years before these teams have their conclusion on this.
That's Clark Hunt.
Yeah.
Who has always been targeting 2031.
Yeah.
Is that John Sherman?
I think.
Who's been targeting 2028.
Yeah. I mean, their timeline for sure got pushed back. Like, we're not going to see a 2028 stadium. But you're right. I mean, the Royals have absolutely not made it a secret that they want this to be a solution before their lease ends. And I've said all along, like, throughout the dispute between the county and the teams, I totally understood and bought into the teams wanting to figure out a solution within the timing of their current lease expiration, which is now 6.5 years away. I did not think that that was going too early. I mean, it's it's much more complicated than people think. It's not like you've got shovels in the ground tomorrow. If this were to pass, we know of all the complications. I think the complications are part of the reasons it didn't pass with voters. Like, those things take a lot of time.
What's your gut tell you now?
I mean, what we're seeing here on the Kansas side is nothing that, if any of us have been paying attention, should be surprised by. It's just that now it's here. So I don't think that hearing about this changes my perspective all that much, except for maybe, you know, it is the realization that these teams could be in a better negotiating position than they were when they just got something rejected by the voters. Because now the threat of leaving is more publicly real than it was before.
So what does your gut tell you? Where do the two teams end up ultimately? Right now, I'm just taking a pulse.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're not saying, hey, this is where I'm saying they're going to go.
Right.
But, you know, do want to make that clear to the listeners as well, because I don't know. But if, you know, a leader in the clubhouse, I still think that there's a reason they went with their initial vote, because that's where they wanted to go. And so I still think that's going to be the solution that they work towards, is the exact solution that just got voted down, and find another way to get that done.
And Kansas works as the prop to
push it through. Give you some state negotiation power that you didn't necessarily have before. At least, I say didn't have before. We were just in the dark about whether or not they had that before. But I do think...
The governor said today, what was his quote, Curtis? He said...
Do everything within their power,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Do everything within their power.
And he had said that years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The state legislature, I thought was a question mark. I mean, there's a lot of St. Louis voices on that I didn't know if they were going to be eager to put money into two Kansas City stadiums, especially when St. Louis lost a sports team. So those are the people I think could be persuaded. I don't know them personally, but I just wonder what's in their minds when they see Kansas going after, if there is some more state pride as opposed to section of the state.
He said everything we can. I'm going to make sure that's accurate, what I'd said.
Yeah, very similar to what he had said, I think it was in 2021. He told the
Post-Dispatch. He said he'd do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Would match anything.
Yeah.
It was foolish what he said before. This is a much more calculated statement. I don't know what his future political aspirations are, because he's not going to be governor, right?
Right.
So, but before, he and Frank White, as soon as that Wall Street Journal story came out, we're like, we'll match anything. And nice poker. I call anything. Whatever you bet, I call.
That's like, that works for me on, you know, the feud, but beyond that, probably problematic.
Yeah, that would seem to be, you know, a bit of an issue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we are in a unique place in Kansas City to where we are situated is...
We'll hear the governor in the 5 o'clock hour, by the way.
Okay. Well, this is, you know, we're in a unique position in Kansas City to where the competition is, you know, present on both sides to all of it. I mean, you and I are sitting here having this conversation. We live on different sides of the state line.
Right. It's not quite as unique as we like to think it is. Like, you know, the Jets and Giants play in New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? There are a number of, you know, Cincinnati is in Kentucky. You know, there are more cities that have state divisions. You know, East St. Louis. Well, all the money's on the Missouri side when it comes to St. Louis. Okay, yeah, but there are still these hurdles that exist. Washington, D.C., see the Commanders trying to get a stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
There's multiple states.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears have been fighting with multiple jurisdictions, even if it's not states, about Soldier Field, and may have a solution. But, you know, I mean, these stadium fights are not the unique part to Kansas City, for sure. It's just, you know, potentially moving across the state line is different than most. You make a good point. It's not different than all.
I've been told there are many locations in Kansas. Everyone's got it just plopping down next to the racetrack. I think if the Royals are involved, it gets way, you know, the Royals, I think John Sherman wants the Royals in downtown Kansas City, Missouri.
It would be a harder sell for the Royals. I mean, literally the point of this project was to separate the two teams.
Right.
If Kansas was to have a location, as you mentioned, that – you know, would bring both teams, it's a hard sell because that's the antithesis of the project you presented voters in Jackson County.
I find it, I don't, you know, at least the vision that John Sherman has, urban baseball, urban neighborhood baseball.
Yes.
I'm not sure where that fits in Kansas.
I agree.
It does not fit at the racetrack.
I agree. Yeah.
So I think you're looking more South Johnson County, more Lenexa, hell, I don't know, downtown Overland Park.
Yeah. I don't know what their potential there would be, you know, kind of in that downtown 35 area that's kind of near downtown that's across the state line. I totally agree with you. I mean, the whole vision of this project is to be in downtown.
Right.
In or around downtown, I guess, was the phrasing on it.
But the football stadium, there could be many locations.
Yes.
That would work.
Yes, because, I mean, the one thing that I don't think enough of us talked about, myself included, was the Chiefs practice facility and, you know, where they're going to be every day, not 10 days a year, more if they make the playoffs, obviously, which they have been. But it was going to be – and I shouldn't say 10 days because, I mean, they've got concerts there. There's more activity there. I don't want to short side that. Yeah, I mean, potentially, and I've already said that I could definitely see them at Arrowhead, but potentially if they were to move to a Kansas location, you know, you could have everything in one spot, and it's not just a stadium that's new. It's also, you know, your everyday stuff.
Well, let's be clear. They can do whatever they want practice facility-wise at the Truman Sports Complex.
Yes.
I mean, they have a massive amount of land, so much land that they're mocked by other cities about how big the parking lots are.
Yeah, the question of who pays for it, I think, might be different if you're talking about Truman Sports Complex, because we're seeing these last 24 hours what Kansas is willing to do. So I don't know that if the Chiefs went to them and say, hey, what about our practice facility? Well, that's a hang-up for us.
Let's finish with this, and then we'll switch to the draft. What was the most disappointing aspect of the proposals that were put out there?
I think you and I think differently, even though I don't disagree with you. We just rank them differently. Mine was just the lack of detail that we received before the vote. I just thought the voters deserved to have a lot more information to know exactly what they're voting on. I think what you're going to say is the design of the renovation.
Well, I'm going back from people who quoted Lamar Hunt Sr., who was speaking to people in Kansas about if the old renovations failed and what it would take to get them there. And he said, listen, it has to touch everybody. Not just people who are going to watch football games. You've got to involve enough stuff in the project that everybody says, I want to go there. And it has to be impressive. And I think we have sat for 20-some-odd years saying, what could the Chiefs do if the Royals weren't there? And it was like any momentum on the project was killed by the Chiefs. I think people, they ask me all the time, I'm sure they ask you all the time, did the Chiefs sandbag this on purpose? I don't think so, but it acted the same way because they didn't give it any momentum when they put their plans out there. None. Zero.
Yeah, I mean, they could have gotten this sort of momentum in Kansas, I think, regardless they had a vote, I get those emails too, but it's what I'd always reply to those people, like, they didn't have to have a failed vote to have some sort of lure from Kansas. I do think that showed up most when Mayor Lucas got involved, or I shouldn't say got involved, when he endorsed the project 3 days before the vote. You saw him really articulate the fact that he was concerned about the Truman Sports Complex and what that meant for the east suburbs of Kansas City, where we are now, out here in Blue Springs, Lee's Summit, Independence, Raytown area. We saw him really hammer home that point in a way that the campaign had not. And so I think his thinking was along the lines of yours, which is,
you know what I think?
We have a way to drag in. Like, we need to do something that helps out this side of the city as well, not just the people downtown.
Mayor Lucas is a very bright man.
Oh, yeah.
I think he read the tea leaves, saw the ass-kicking coming, and started getting away from it.
Yeah, I think he's pretty aware of how things maybe could go. I know he was, you know, heavily involved in the conversations on both of these projects, but obviously, you know, didn't receive his endorsement till 3 days before. And the way that he spoke about it, my first reaction was afterwards, they really could have used his public endorsement a lot earlier.
I agree. Bright guy also can judge a dance contest. Did you know that?
I did not.
He was a judge. He was at a charity Dancing with Stars event. He was one of the judges.
Okay.
He was very, very good.
Were you
good.
A participant?
Hell no.
Okay.
Oh, God, no. You couldn't drag me up there. No.
I'm just going to ask for some video. So.
No, we have none. There will never be any. Rancho Grande, that's the spot we're at right now. You can save a buck on bottles of any of the Corona beers. All three locations celebrating Cinco de Mayo early with us here. You can get a buck off any Corona till 6 o'clock. So stop by Parkville, Liberty, or where we are here in Blue Springs. Basically, we're just northeast corner of 77 on the outer road. Rancho Grande, great Mexican food, and, of course, great people. Locally owned and operated. 17 years, this location, almost 30 years. If you go back to the very first one, come on out, whether it's tonight to grab some great Mexican food this afternoon, to grab a little happy hour pop with us, or for Cinco de Mayo this weekend.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue Burnt end of the hour answer. What player holds the record for points scored in a postseason game without attempting a free throw?
Record?
Just because Jamal Murray last night? Did he not shoot a free throw last night?
It wasn't Jamal Murray.
No, but I'm saying, is that why you're asking?
No.
Did he not shoot a free throw
last
else.
Night? Somebody else. It was Derek White of
Derek
the Celtics
White.
Had 38 last night without attempting a free throw.
I don't think Murray had a free throw last night either, though.
He didn't have 38.
He didn't have 38.
He did have the game winner again.
So he's not even the answer of just last night.
No. Most points...
Yeah, Murray had one free throw. He had 32 with one free throw.
That's pretty amazing. This guy had 38 and not even an attempt.
And what did White have?
White had 38.
There's somebody who had more?
Yeah, 39 is the record.
Nova wouldn't have been Jordan.
Nope.
Steph?
Nope.
Clay?
1991.
Hang on. 91?
Went the team?
Yeah.
Pacers at Celtics. 91.
Give me which team?
Pacers.
Pacers and 91. Reggie Miller?
Nope.
Hold on. 91 Pacers. Reggie Miller was on the team, though, mm-hmm. right?
Smith?
Nope.
No, he would have been fouled.
That's what I thought.
It was somebody chucking and ducking.
I think it was a high draft pick.
Of the Pacers?
Yeah, let me see.
The Rifleman?
Chuck Person.
Nailed it. You give me six guesses and four clues. I will crush any question.
So, to be honest, I still did not, though.
Fourth overall pick in 1986.
Yep. The Rifleman.
39.
Convicted felon. You know what he did?
Why didn't you have that clue, Curtis?
You know what he did?
That would have been nice.
Gave a few hundred bucks to a recruit. He was one of a handful of, assistant coaches.
Out of his time, yeah.
A handful of assistant coaches that actually got busted. And that stupid FBI ring that was going to bring college basketball to its knees.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It did not.
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. We just gave it away. Get you some wonderful Joe's order right now at joeskc.com. Kansas City Barbecue Store's got you covered. Beautiful weather outside. If you want to cook out, get to the Kansas City Barbecue Store. It's where I got my Traeger, my Weber. It's where I go for my sauces, my rubs, my utensils. It's all there. Everything you need to cook outdoors. It's at the Kansas City Barbecue Store. 119th and Strangline. Find them online at the Kansas City BBQstore.com.
And what else would you want to do on a day when it's 85 or 82?
Yeah.
Depending on where you ask.
McDowell is with us.
A little windy.
Kansas City Star columnist. He's brought to you by our friends at Joslyn's Jewelry. Gary's got more than 900 engagement rings for you to choose from. Go check him out right now. It's time to pop that special question. Make sure you got that special ring. It's at Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Don't forget Mother's Day right around the corner as well. Chiefs draft, what grade do you give it? Letter grade. Report your grade now.
I think we had this conversation last year. I don't do grades.
No, but I want you to do it anyway.
I think the draft positionally fell to them pretty well.
So, A?
So, let's not.
A plus? A minus?
I'll probably never give like an A or an F unless, well, the Falcons might. But I probably wouldn't give an A like almost ever.
So really? Why would you give the Falcons an F?
Let's say like a B plus.
Why would you give the Falcons an F? You don't think the quarterback position is an important one? Or you're convinced a guy who's 36 years old and currently can't run.
Okay, then give their offseason enough. Give their pre-draft offseason enough then.
So if you go, if you have a veteran quarterback, that's pretty good.
You knew what quarterbacks you had were going to be available.
And you go because you think you've got a difference-making quarterback, and you use a high draft pick to get another quarterback, then you get an F.
If you've guaranteed, if he's basically on 3 years
of guarantee.
If you've
got a Pro Bowl quarterback, and then you go and you...
But you didn't have him at the start of the offseason.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So one of them has to be graded poorly.
Yeah, but my point is you have... So, right, the second move, because you already had the other one.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs got an F in 2017 when they took Patrick Mahomes.
Alex Smith was on, like, 1 year guarantees left.
There's 2 years on...
There's basically three. Like, that third year's
pretty expensive. It's $25 million to walk, which if you post June 1, is 12.5, which is literally nothing.
Well, not
in today's
literally.
Days, after the Broncos have walked on nearly $100 million.
Right, they're a really
it's
crappy
a two-year,
spot.
$90 million deal.
The Broncos is not a model to follow, is it?
Are the Chiefs?
Well, if the Broncos did it, let's get on board. Yes.
Well, then that's what they did, didn't they?
But so I actually wrote about this last week. The Chiefs example is used in the wrong way.
Okay.
The Chiefs, because so
I think I just nailed it. But anyway,
let me pull up some of the stats I had, because in the last 15 years, there's been 19 quarterbacks that have been traded up for. You know how many of those have won playoff games? Recognizing that wins is not the metric, because this is a team argument. I'm not even just judging these quarterbacks. Only 7 of the 19 have won a playoff game in the last 15 years. Mahomes actually has more playoff
games. How many
of them
were taken in the last 5?
Combined. There's been
just because I want to know how many are
like Bryce Young,
1 or 2 years
like
into
Bryce
their career.
Bryce Young, Love. I don't have them sorted right here. I've got the list of them, but I haven't sorted
go,
by year.
Actually, cut out the last 5 years.
Actually, they would be here. Bryce Young.
Cut out the last 5 years and tell me that stat.
Oh, it'd be even worse. Like, Tebow won one. Gabbert didn't win any. RG3 didn't win any. Right. Bridgewater didn't win any. Manziel didn't win any. Goff's won 4. Wentz hasn't won one. Paxton Lynch hasn't won one. Then you've got Mahomes. Trubisky hasn't won one. Deshaun Watson, I think, has won one, maybe. Sam Darnold hasn't won any. Josh Allen's won 5. Josh
Rosen
hasn't won
any. So don't draft quarterbacks? Is that the message?
The message is that you need to we don't analyze the situation these guys are put in well enough. And that's the Mahomes example. That's the way that should be used. It's like that team was ready to win. They were already winning. They won 12 games the year before. So look at the stats on here, for example. The 7 guys of those 19 that have won playoff games, 5 were drafted by teams coming off of a winning season. Another one was Tim Tebow, who went 8-8. The Broncos have gone 8-8.
Oh, I don't dispute any of your numbers, but like it's kind of like the dilemma that the Patriots found themselves in. You're like literally, and I think it's a real statement to make. You suck too bad to take a quarterback.
No, you should still take a quarterback. I'm talking about the trading up proposition. Like the Falcons are a different animal as far as like the way
they didn't trade up, so they don't apply to your.
Yeah, I don't mind them taking a quarterback, but that's why I said you've got to either grade their prep for the draft poorly. Nobody did not think that Michael Penix would be available at 8, and he's 20, going to be 25 years old. It's not like you've
Listen,
got a 21-year-old
we can have the
prospect.
Debate about Penix. That's one thing. I'm with you. Like, if you want me to say, would I have taken him 8? Oh, God, no. First of all, I've said, and I have people who tell me that, hey, they think his release is a rocket. It looks funny, and I freely admit it might be just because he's left-handed.
Yeah.
But that kind of freaks me out a little bit.
It's not just because if you've seen the flip video, it looks weird right-handed, too.
Yeah, like on the swings, on baseball swings and everything. No, I haven't seen the flip video on him.
Yeah.
But it looks funny. And so that makes me nervous. Well, everybody lost their mind about Tim Tebow and changing his delivery back then, and yet no one's saying that about Penix, which is fine. But if you take that out and you say they believe in the player.
Yeah.
Right, because there were lots of people in this city who said Patrick Mahomes was a bust. He played in an air raid offense. He's a gunslinger. He's going to throw lots of picks. He's going to be a disaster. There were lots of people that bombed that pick.
Yes.
As they're bombing Penix. Fine. Yes. I didn't. I love the player. But
just want to say, sorry to interrupt, that I agree with that. That's why I don't give out grades after the draft
okay.
for that reason.
Well, because you don't like the criticism.
I like to focus on strategy within the draft.
Okay, but my point is, I believe if you have a conviction about a quarterback, it doesn't matter when
it
is.
What situation is.
You take him. Because I'll even make you a case. Like, I made the case on why drafting J.J. McCarthy, if you're the Chargers, will make sense. First of all, Jimmy Johnson did it. He took Troy Aikman, and then later that year in the supplemental draft, gave away his first-round pick next year for Steve Walsh. Now, I think teams have learned from that. He later then flipped Steve Walsh after Aikman went 1-15, flipped him for a first, second, and third to the Saints. If you have a quarterback that people either know is good or think they might be good, it's worth more than wherever they were drafted.
Definitely. But I also think that's part of the equation for the Falcons is you could have traded down and made the same pick and gotten more.
Well, I agree with that. 100%. You did not need to take him at 8. I don't know that you could get by 13 or you could get by 12. That Bronco Raider, that little cove,
yeah.
Vikings 11,
and the
12, 13.
Better safe than sorry mentality. Yeah.
I think if you believe in the quarterback, first of all, we always say you can't trade down. You can't. I've talked to GMs who have been like,
you've got to have a willing partner.
Right. And so if you believe in the quarterback, it's never a bad thing to add a quality quarterback. Never. Now, if you want to debate it, I have many more reservations about him like you do than they do. I just think the idea of, like, taking a quarterback, if they're right about him, then no one ever complain.
Let's say, because here's the situation where I agree with you on it. Like, let's say they had Kirk Cousins last year. He got hurt early, so therefore they were forced to play really bad backup quarterback, and they were a terrible team last year. Cousins is still coming back on the same contract, and you've got a top three pick, and you've got one of those guys. Like, I don't mind that pick because that was not your plan going in, first of all. It's the combination of signing him to that contract this offseason and then drafting a quarterback who we all knew would be available at number 8 already.
Well, I think it might be as much about they shouldn't have signed Cousins to that contract.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have done that.
It's got to be one or the other because you could have put Michael Penix in a much better situation.
But I don't think that's, because you made one bad decision doesn't mean you have to be all in on that bad decision.
It's weird for the bad decision to come back to back.
It is
like,
weird.
He hasn't even played a game yet. Like, what has made them decide that that's a bad decision? They haven't.
It is weird. It is a steroided up version of exactly what Andy Reid did. Andy Reid arrived in Kansas City, traded 2 second-round picks for Alex Smith, and then gave Chase Daniel $15 million over 3 years. He immediately upgraded the quarterback position twofold and gave massive resources to it. Not as big as they just gave, but he put massive resources in the quarterback position. So, I don't know. No one else cares about the Falcons. But I do think it's of note that if he ends up being good, no one's going to call morons.
You're right.
Right? Yeah. Like everyone thought they were ridiculous for taking RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft.
I still think they could call them morons because, look, what money are they spending on Kirk this year, for example? Like, those resources could have gone into putting Michael Penix in a much better situation with the Falcons this year. You could have a much better
situation. Oh, I will agree. If your idea is Penix isn't ready to play,
yeah.
Well, when he's 30,
exactly.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. We'll see what happens. We'll see.
It is an interesting situation, though.
It's very interesting.
To be honest, like, I went to all 3 days of the draft. This was talked about in our media room way more than the Chiefs draft.
Oh, for sure.
Was talked about.
Bo Nix to the Broncos is seemingly you would have, and they were the Raiders were behind him.
I think they were at 13.
They were 12, and the Raiders were 13.
Yeah.
So. I guess unless you thought, the Raiders are going to take him, but yeah, that whole exactly.
I actually envisioned Bo Nix winding up in Denver because of his completion percentage, and I thought that would be really attractive to Sean Payton. Was saying, well, the completion percentage is how I built it in New Orleans, but his completion percentage is misleading based on the ADOT of his throws. Like, he does not throw the ball deep. We'll see how that works out. Same sort of situation, but it's. I don't think he got the player he thinks he's drafted.
Let's take a break. We'll get Sam's thoughts on a couple of the picks for the Chiefs next. We're at Rancho Grande. Great place. Sam's got chicken fajitas on the table. He's going to crush them. Come on down, get some great Mexican food. Of course, we'll have a huge celebration for Cinco de Mayo. We're at Rancho Grande. All 3 locations. Get $1 off all the Corona bottles, whichever one, Corona Light, Corona Premier, Parkville, Liberty, Blue Springs, all Rancho Grandes. $1 off till 6 o'clock tonight. Of course, we'll have great food and drink specials and live music for Cinco de Mayo on Sunday. You listen to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We broadcast live, Rancho Grande, 3 locations around the metro. Parkville, Liberty, and Blue Springs, great Mexican food, great people as well.
Finished almost the entire fajitas, all but one piece of chicken in the break.
I don't know how you did that.
Delicious.
It is delicious. because I had the feet chicken fajita salad. It had all the peppers and onions.
The chicken is great.
It's great.
Great flavor, really tender. Yeah.
It is great. Curtis had the combo fajitas. You come on down and get some great Mexican food at Rancho Grande. All three locations get a buck off the bottles of Corona till 6 o'clock, so take advantage of that. People aren't joking around, man. They're already, like, full. It's $4.50.
There's a wait.
Get a good product. Yeah, people will line up to get it.
They will. They will.
Ours, too.
Yep. You can come on down. You can check them out online, see all their specials. And, of course, like I said, Cinco de Mayo, they'll have a big festivity going on all day. Celebrate all weekend here with Rancho Grande. All right, so what do you think? What's your favorite part of the Chiefs draft?
Well, I think my biggest takeaway from Xavier Worthy, for example, just because he's number one, was I think that a lot of people looked at that nationally, and like even the commentary was, oh, another speed guy for Andy Reid, look at this. And like Xavier Worthy, to me, fits what they don't have. Like he's not a duplicate of what they already have. You look at so I went through after they drafted him, for example, and picked out the Chiefs' downfield success last year. And it's a lack of success. There were 23 quarterbacks last year that rank on the passer rating that had thrown at least 47 passes 20-plus yards downfield in the air. 23 quarterbacks. You know where Patrick Mahomes ranked?
Oh, he's at the bottom.
Dead last by a mile in passer rating. 49.1 passer rating on those throws. Second worst was Bryce Young at 60.9. So he ranks behind Sam Howell, Gardner Minshew, Will Levis, and Bryce Young, like every quarterback in the league that threw at least 47 passes downfield.
By passer rating.
Passer rating.
Which does not say, oh, that was a drop.
So
that's
what I subsequently pointed out, was that he also had the most drops in those situations. Six times he threw a pass 20-plus yards downfield that was credited as a drop by Pro Football Focus. So that's why I think Xavier Worthy is what they don't already have.
Oh, I agree.
On their roster. And by the way, we already know they've added Hollywood Brown there. So they're, for the first time really since Tyreek Hill left, they could line up speed on both sides of the line. And I don't even know if necessarily the primary objective of that is the stat I'm pointing out. Like, I do think that is an objective. But I think the primary objective is to get some attention off of the stuff underneath. Like, get some attention away from Rashee Rice whenever he is playing, and get some attention away from Travis Kelce by having it. You can't just have guys run wind sprints like the way Marquez. Like, there has to be actual threat of making a play when you're at the tail end of that wind sprint. Now, the Chiefs will tell you two other attributes, which I think are really important. They'll point at his route running and say he's not just because – look, I mean, when they make the pick, it's a smaller guy. I am curious about how his size translates to the NFL. And, you know, I mean, one of your thoughts is, well, they did this with Mecole Hardman, a guy that ran really well at the combine. I think he was like a 4.3, low 4.3s guy. And we know Mecole Hardman didn't work out because he never became an adept route runner the way that Tyreek Hill became a really good route runner. They really point at Xavier Worthy's routes. So I think that's a really important element of what he can do. And the other thing is that I heard more than one person point out to me that he had almost 1,000 yards as a freshman at Texas. And we know last year when Rashee Rice was a rookie, they had to really pigeonhole his role in training camp and early in the season. Then as the season progresses, you can have more stuff that Rashee Rice is available to do. With Worthy, I think they're looking at his freshman season and say, God, this guy went from high school to Texas and had 1,000 yards. He's a freshman All-American. Maybe his learning process in Kansas City isn't going to be the same that it was for Rashee Rice. And you're going to need him more early as you are late because I think we're pretty confident that they're going to be missing a guy early.
If they hit on the first two guys. Right?
It's a successful draft, yeah.
It is. And people are going to be really lamenting they didn't take the Chiefs out the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because the last 2 years they were more flawed.
This year,
if those guys hit, then...
That's a great point, yeah. I mean, the Chiefs have to be sitting back thinking, what more could we have asked for out of a draft? You wanted wide receiver tackle. I thought that they would go tackle wide receiver. I just thought that's the way the board would fall for them. The tackles that they wanted weren't there, so they had to go inverse. And, I mean, they couldn't have asked for more out of the draft for that reason.
Sam, you couldn't ask for more out of those fajitas.
Yeah,
well done,
it.
My friend. We're at Rancho Grande.
All right, how many members of the 500 Home Run Club have hit four home runs in a game?
brought to you by Good Sense.